Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour four of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Don't say Chad Pennington's name. Just don't say Chad Pennington. That's it. Don't say. Nope. Yep. Everything is fine. Just don't say everything is fine. Tight shirt's scaring the crap out of everybody.
Yeah, I know. Just take a deep breath.
Oh,
exhale.
My goodness.
Just like the Cowboys did tonight. Exhale, succeed, and proceed. You've run the gauntlet. Now you have days off. The holidays are coming for you, Smith, so just take a deep breath.
Holiday.
Right.
We got a lot of big football coming at you this hour, and we're going to kick things off with going through the big takeaways of the Cowboys' win over the Saints tonight. Look, I feel better about the Cowboys after this. Had they lost this game, this would have been your third loss in the last 5 weeks against an average, just a kind of generic NFL team that's sitting around 500. This was a big game for the Cowboys, and the Cowboys won. The big thing to take away from this, and this is both good and it's frustrating as hell for the Dallas Cowboys, is that you are paying a lot of money to a guy you really don't need anymore. Because all the money that the Cowboys are paying to Ezekiel Elliott, they can get this from Tony Pollard at a fraction of the price.
Prescott's going to toss the play wide to Pollard. Broke a tackle. Got a block on the edge. Sprinting to the 50. Pollard down the left sideline. One man to beat, and he'll beat him. All the way to the pylon. Touchdown, Pollard.
Cowboys Radio Network on the call. Pollard's touchdown really flipped the game from, hey, this game is still kind of close. The Cowboys are playing well. And then from there on, the Cowboys are playing downhill. They intercepted Taysom Hill three times in the last three possessions for the Saints in the fourth quarter, and they wind up winning the game. But this is the frustrating part, is that this is why you don't pay running backs, is you paid Ezekiel Elliott all kinds of money because Jerry Jones loves paying guys that he feels, I drafted them, right? I drafted them, so I want to give Ezekiel Elliott a lot of money. That's why Cowboys players who get drafted by the Cowboys love it, because it's like Jerry Jones feels, I have to pay these guys because I drafted them. And it's a big thing for me that I get to give big checks to these guys. You gave Ezekiel Elliott money, and now it's not that he's bad. It's not that Ezekiel Elliott suddenly is awful, but you don't really need him. Because now the team is clearly Dak Prescott driven, right? 40 pass attempts tonight, 24 rushing attempts tonight in a game the Cowboys won by 10. You're going to throw the football a ton because of the weapons you have at wide receiver. And in a night where Amari Cooper comes back and CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup had 5 and a touchdown, this is how the Cowboys are powered now. So all this money you have given to Ezekiel Elliott, and you got one more year before he can opt out or you can get out of the deal, you're getting more from Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard is more explosive. He's faster. He's got more of a burst. There's just more to him than there is right now to Ezekiel Elliott. Look, Elliott's had a lot of carries, and he's had a lot of responsibility so far in his career. He's only 26, but you know, you're not getting Ezekiel Elliott that you got your rookie year with him. You're not getting the 5.5 yards per carry and 15 touchdowns. He's averaged 0.5 yards per carry. Doesn't mean he's terrible, right? Doesn't mean he's awful. It's not saying he fell off the face of the earth like when Chris Johnson got paid by the Titans and said, I'm just going to run straight ahead and fall down. But you don't need him anymore because you're not driven by Ezekiel Elliott. This is not Zeke and Dak and Dak and Zeke. No, this is, we are Dak's team. We're going to throw the football. We have the weapons at receiver, and Ezekiel Elliott is kind of a luxury. And when you're getting the same stuff out of Tony Pollard you're getting out of Zeke, it's frustrating to go, here's $15 million a year we could be spending on another shutdown corner or another linebacker or another offensive lineman. Or so we can go out and get a great tight end. You know, Dalton Schultz does catch passes, and he's pretty solid. Yeah, he's functionally offense. But you could spend this money elsewhere
at some point that they had great expectations for.
I mean, you could go do lots of things with that money. So it's very frustrating, but look, Zeke is just not a guy that you need. You know, and again, it's another year before you can get out of it. And Pollard's giving you what Ezekiel Elliott would give you. And he's honestly giving you a little bit more because he's faster and he's going to break stuff out the outside that Ezekiel Elliott doesn't do.
This sounds familiar. It sounds like someone from the first quarter of last season. Yeah, this guy. Look, the speed to the outside. We talk about it. We talk about it with Jay Glazer a few minutes back. And you look at him as a return man. He's been electrifying as a receiver once he gets out in space. I mean, a lot of yak potential there. With Zeke, it's not there. You know, you swing it out to him, and you're getting a couple of yards, and then he's getting bounced out of bounds, or, you know, you're running him too far and leading him too far. You're getting the big plays out of Pollard, and now you get creative with the gadgetry. CeeDee Lamb had the lateral that counts as a 33-yard run. But we've seen more creativity from teams in that regard. But overall, for this offense, it was a putrid showing, right? I mean, I know Jerry Jones, there's a report going on that he actually turned to her and told Dan Quinn that he was right up there with Landry. I like that.
Wow.
He doesn't have Tom Landry's hat, though. But they get the job done. Kellen Moore, you know, a couple of pieces of creativity. But overall, I mean, they let a bad Saints team hang around a lot longer than they should have, right? The defense came up huge, and you get the separation late. But otherwise, you know, I don't come away, you know, I'm relieved you get the win. You ran the gauntlet, right, because you played those three games in rapid fire. Right, rapid succession, and now you get a little bit of a break before you see the Washington football team to get a little bit of health concerns rectified. But overall, there's still problems here, and I guess to some degree you breathe a sigh of relief. Like I said, schedule wise, and also that your wide receivers were all playing together for the first time in a while. Even Amari Cooper had a couple of catches. A lot of questions of before the game of whether he was going to go, right? He wasn't doing a whole lot standing around on the sidelines as he came out of protocol and missing the time that he did. But all in all, it's the Calipari succeed and proceed mantra on full display here tonight.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And look, it's easy to look at the Cowboys, and look, the Cowboys' offense is so scary. All right. There is no offense in the NFL that is scarier than the Cowboys. Are they the best offense? No. But are they the scariest? Yeah, because if they get into a point where they get hot, look out. Because it's Dak and them running the football with Pollard and Elliott between the tackles if he can. You have three guys at wide receiver, and it's hard to cover all of them. There is no offense that is scary. It's scarier than Tampa Bay's offense because of what they can do going down the field. It is the scariest offense in the league. But this is kind of how it works for the Cowboys. Right? They play, they have a lot of star players, and inherently they don't play quite up to their potential, but they're good enough to win the NFC East, right? Because clearly this division is still bad, even though the Giants have won a couple of games and the Eagles have won a couple of games. Hey, the Washington looks like we might be okay. But Dallas should win this division. But they've gone from, hey, Dallas is right up there with teams like the Packers and the Rams and the Cardinals. Hey, we could be that big time. Spoiler, we can play and we can beat big teams. Right now, they're kind of what they always have been. They're a team that will finish a little bit above 500. They'll win the NFC East. They'll play a playoff game. Maybe they win, maybe they lose, but they play the second game against a better team and they wind up going home. That's kind of where the Cowboys are. They just can't put it all together. They can't handle success. They can't handle when they have to play from behind. It is a team that is bereft of that difficult leadership that is needed to get through the tough times. When things got tough for the Bucs last year, what happened at the bye? Tom Brady and Bruce Arians put their heads together and said, look, this is what we have to do. Let's go do this. You make the offense this way, and we're going to win. And what happened? Tom Brady had four incredibly good games, and they blitzed their way to the Super Bowl. When you have that tough leadership, you get through the times and through games that quite honestly, you wind up losing. The Cowboys have wind up losing. And this doesn't mean that Dak suddenly has to stand up and say, this is my team, or, oh, look, I'm playing with blood on my uniform. But they have to figure out a way to get through the tough, grinded out games. And that's what the Cowboys can't do. They can't tough it out on you. They can throw the football and they can make the big splashy plays, but that's what they rely on, right? Defensively, they're not that great, but they get a lot of turnovers. But right. You know what? Turnovers aren't always a said thing. You can't just go into every week going, we're going to get turnovers this week. Nah, it doesn't work that way. You go in with a great defense saying, our defensive line is great. We can dominate that offensive line, and that team's not going to be able to run the football. You can't go into a game saying, we expect to get two or three turnovers. No, maybe you don't get two or three turnovers. Maybe the quarterback plays a good game, or the running back doesn't put the ball on the ground. It's hard to rely on that if you're the Cowboys. You're relying on splashy plays and big plays from your defense. You don't have that tough, grinded-out mentality. They can't win any kind of game. They can win a game if their confidence is high and they're throwing the football well. They can win a game against an inferior opponent. But when it comes down to it and they get punched in the mouth, they can't figure it out. And eventually that's what's going to happen. Until the Cowboys hit on that solution of this is how we get tough and grind things out, that's where the Cowboys are going to be. A nice team that finishes a game or two over 500, probably wins the NFC East, may surprise you one game in the playoffs, but then they go home.
Well, that's the greatness of this final stretch and why it makes for great theater. Sitting at 8-4, you're just like, all right, they're not that far off the pace of the leaders, right? And we'll see what the Cardinals are and what Kyler Murray is. I know he gave us the Thanos meme on Twitter to announce his return, but I don't know. They're going into Chicago. What's Chicago? They're a 500 team-ish, right? You know, a couple of near misses from being in the mix themselves. And I think if you put the graphic together, we were talking about this when you were off, you know, right after we talked to Buddy Boeheim, Byer and I were talking about this, is that the only teams that aren't on the, you know, on the radar for the NFC are the Lions and the Seahawks at this point. Everybody else is in the hunt. So you look at the potential here of, you know, Arizona, do they stumble and open the door for you? Maybe. Green Bay, they're on their bye week finally. They get the well-timed bye with Aaron Rodgers and his toe and Aaron Jones coming back. But you look at the Cowboys' schedule down the stretch. We mentioned it before. Four of the final five games against division opponents, two against Washington. Three of them are on the road. And then you have the Cardinals as your only remaining non-division game. That one's at home, so a little bit of a benefit there. But it's just the potential for chaos remains. And right now, the offense, it's start and stops, right? If you're going to have to rely on, you know, a 58-yard sprint out and then an interception return for a touchdown by your defensive lineman, you got issues. I mean, Micah Parsons is fun to watch. He's all over the field. I couldn't understand why he just didn't track Taysom Hill all game long and not even worry about other assignments. Is the only playmaker. Go get him. But, you know, and then you have Diggs in the secondary. He got his ninth interception of the year. Again, another duck. As soon as Taysom Hill had to throw the ball, there were some problems. Yes, I know people say, well, he hit Deontay Harris. Right. And then Harris made a fantastic series of moves for Yak to get to the end zone. That's fine. It all counts in the box score in the end. But the big four turnovers, as you said, I mean, we equate it to the college world. You know, look at the Iowa Hawkeyes all year, right? Buckets of turnovers everywhere. Two games that they lost, they had one turnover combined. So living and dying, it's like the Bears when they got to the Super Bowl and lost to Peyton Manning. It was all special teams and defensive scores. The ball bounced right every which way. At some point, that runs out. And for the Cowboys, I still think they need to figure out what is that identity. Maybe that was what Michael Irvin was yelling to Dak on the sideline. It's your time to assert yourself. Yes, I'm throwing the ball 40 times a game. No. But when they, because they actually joked about it on the broadcast, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, when they ran back-to-back running plays. Mm. It's like, hey, did you see what I just saw? They just ran it twice. It's like someone else calling plays over there. Like, they really made a joke about it on the broadcast.
It was Michael Irvin. Like, for some reason, Michael Irvin gives a pep talk to Dak Prescott before he goes back on the field with 2 minutes left to go. Not like Dak walked over to talk to him. Michael Irvin's like up on the sideline when the players walk right on the field, and he's talking to Dak. What a lax sideline it was tonight with Michael Irvin not there.
2:32 left in the game. right ahead of the onside kick attempt by the Saints
insane.
After that touchdown that made it 27-17. And there's Michael Irvin with his arm on Dak's shoulder.
It's a pretty lax sideline with no McCarthy tonight. Yeah, we're good. You know, I'm going to coach with my hat backwards. We're all good, man. It's all good.
How do I get sideline passes here in L.A., buddy? Because I could go up and just start talking to the quarterback. Are you kidding me?
Hey, there's Harmon giving Justin Fields advice. Look at that. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Look, there's issue with your Cowboys, and there's the reality of Ezekiel Elliott.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There it is. Always good. Worth the price of admission every single time.
And,
and for that, I mean, it's free. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. We got a big football story coming your way in a second, but we need to say that hopefully tonight, everything you've listened to and heard from the show, we were better than the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder tonight lost to the Grizzlies, who were playing without Ja Morant. Is that a big deal? No. Well, Oklahoma City is not very good. They lost tonight 152-79, losing by 73 points to a Ja Morant-less Memphis Grizzlies team. The 73 points setting the record for the largest margin of victory in an NBA game. 73 points. The previous high was Cleveland beat. Go ahead, tight shirt. But Cleveland, go ahead, tight shirt. Go ahead.
Cleveland!
Cleveland beating Miami by 68 points, 148-80, in December of 1991. Not been during the LeBron James era when LeBron was great, the Heat were looking bright. No. Biggest margin of victory, breaking the record that was set in December of 1991, 73 points. Without Ja Morant. And let me say this. Never forget, the Oklahoma City Thunder have already beaten the Lakers twice this year. They lose by 73 to Memphis. They have already beaten the Lakers twice. I'm just saying, don't forget, they've already beaten the Lakers twice.
Really bad job. They could have gotten Tilly another 6 points, and every guy on the bench would have scored double digits.
They had nine guys in double digits.
Michelle Kelly, and I'm here.
Want? What else did you want? They had nine guys. No, nothing is ever
good
enough for
you. I need that
guy
to get more shots, because then you could say every bench player that we threw out there had double digits against you. Take that.
Nine
Jackson with 27, your leader, Melton with 19. I mean, just ridiculous. 62.5% from the field. For the game, the Thunder had 26 rebounds. The Grizzlies had 53. 19-10, the turnover differential. The Grizzlies also shot 19 for 36 from three-point range. I want to go back and watch this game to just see how much space they had. Hey, go ahead, take it. Go ahead. You guys have been hot all half. There's no way that continues. No way. Go ahead. I double dog dare you. Just awful.
Yeah,
oh my.
Yeah,
like, we got to see a few minutes of it. That was abysmal. The other game that was on the national game later this evening was San Antonio and Portland. Portland didn't roll out of bed for that game, so that was trash. So it's, I'll tell you, the only game that really mattered was the Bulls beating the Knicks.
No, there was no game tonight. I mean, I told you there was no game tonight. That didn't happen.
I mean, Toronto beat Milwaukee, but that doesn't matter. It's Chicago, New York.
Twitter it out about a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Now, we're going to get to a football story that first you're going to laugh at, and then we're going to dispel a myth that people have tried to put out there the last couple of days that is clearly wrong, and everybody's only looking for clicks. This audio from last night, and it's become kind of a tradition when a new football coach is hired and the school has a home basketball game, that's kind of when the coach introduces himself to the crowd. I still remember Jim Tressel getting on the mic and saying, "You're going to be proud of us in 279 days from now when we play the Michigan Wolverines." And Tressel then owned Michigan the entire time he was there. Just shouldn't have gotten tattoos. And since then, it's kind of become a thing. Well, here's Brian Kelly at the LSU-Ohio basketball game a night ago talking to the crowd. And listen to how funny it is that despite the fact he's only been in Louisiana for a couple of days, he's already sort of developed a Southern accent. Here he is.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started. And I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here
Tiger.
With my family.
Family.
We are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly,
importantly,
to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
This is like when Madonna moved to England and started talking in the English accent. It was like, why are you talking in an accent? Because I live here now.
Yeah, but you're American. His first sentence or two were fine. And then it gradually sneaked in like he was Ross on Friends. Remember when he had the... he was trying to speak with the English accent,
and then it got all wonky.
The other was, I mean, he might as well have started strumming a guitar, started singing like Tom Petty. There's a Southern accent where I come from. I mean,
well, hey, listen,
just trying to sell it.
If some station in the South, you know, or in Chicago or New York came at me and said, hey, listen, we want to give you $95 million a 10 years to leave where you're broadcasting now. Yeah, I would go and I would say, all right, you want me to affect an accent to fit in better? Yeah, I'm in Chicago. I do it. Hey, you call right now and you get your chance to talk to the coach, okay? I know you think it's Ditka, but it's not really. It's going to be Tony La Russa. All right, but you call right now. I would do that. If I had a job in the South, I'd do that in a second.
Hey. Oh, no, get in there and sell, sell, sell. I don't need $95 million. If we're negotiating on air, I need far less than that. I will need two houses. I do need that amenity that has been afforded every one of these coaches. I need one with a little body of water and a porch swing. Otherwise, the other can just be a nice, you know, two-bedroom apartment. I don't care. And I'll speak in whatever accent. I'll learn a foreign language. I got no problem with that. Let's go.
Mucho gusto, Fox Sports Deportes. Me llamo Hassan y Miguel Harmon. Yes.
I don't know.
I don't know what that was. Probably
that
offensive
was
to somebody out
no,
there.
No, that would be saying
you made
Fox
you made an
radio.
Attempt. You're trying to bridge cultures. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. No, my daughter's in taking Spanish now, and so now we go back and forth, and I just, because words I remember, because I used to be really good in Spanish, right? I was really good, and I still remember a lot of words and phrases and conjugating the verbs, and I just throw out nonsense stuff just to see if she's paying attention. Like I'll say, el vaquero está en la biblioteca, and she'll say, the cowboy is in the library? Yes, very good. You got it. You were paying attention to what I was saying. Okay,
why is that
great.
Wrong? He could
it's
be
not, I would just say something. I would say, and I would say things like, la anaranjado y la naranja. She goes, orange or the orange? I would say, yes! You got it. So I could do that. I could try. If you're going to pay me enough money, whatever accent you need, I could do it for you. I mean, I'm not saying I could really pull it off, but I could do it for you. I could give a shot at that and see if it works.
Look, man, we live in Los Angeles, everybody's got a screenplay or a part of a novel written and fashions themselves as an improvisational actor, voiceover man or woman or anything. I mean, you name it, it's all on the card, right? I mean, how many times you run into someone on the strand? It's like, you've got an interesting look, sir. Would you like to have headshots taken? They'll only cost you $300. Like, no. No. What is this going to do for me? I mean, we could do that too. Chameleons. Let's go.
But now to another part of the Brian Kelly story, which just drives me crazy, because the last couple of days, I can always tell when someone's making something up, whether you're on the radio or on TV and you make up a take and it's only to get clicks and to say something because you can't say something else about a topic. And that is LSU is a better job than Notre Dame. All right, just first of all, that's incredibly incorrect, and it's stupid to think that it is. But I always know when someone's making something up, going, boy, what can I say, and I'm smart enough to pull it off, but I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say because I can make it, and I can get clicks, and all kind of people can watch and all this stuff. Really? LSU is a better job than Notre Dame? Are you kidding me?
Okay, well, just how are we measuring it, Jason?
Let's just have the anti-take. All right, and this is why. All right, the one thing you can do is you can get better athletes at LSU, right? That's clearly the advantage because LSU, it's not as stringent to get athletes in as it is at Notre Dame. And this is true for anywhere. I mean, no, it's tougher to get athletes in at Notre Dame than anywhere in the country. Notre Dame, Stanford, you know, you have to be able to have a high
GPA. Hey, keep going.
These things. Right? Syracuse as well. Yes, I'm sorry. I forgot Syracuse. Sorry about that. Syracuse as well. I'm only talking about teams that play D1 football, Mike. I'm sorry.
And you included Syracuse?
Northwestern. Yes.
Come on now.
Hey, we almost went to a bowl game this year. We can hang a banner for that. So you can get
a real conference.
You can get better athletes in, right? You can get better. But to say it's a better job, how much do you really think you can win at LSU when the guy that won the national championship less than 2 years ago gets fired? All right. How long do you really think you're going to be? Are you going to win the national title at LSU? LSU wins. They had a great quarterback, two great wide receivers. Look, they won the title, and that's awesome. But there's this misconception that LSU is this unbelievable program. First of all, the head coach got fired less than 2 years after he won it all. All right. And I know, oh, well, there are some people that didn't like it. Or no, that should buy you all kinds of, I don't care if people don't like me.
Well,
I just won the national
championship.
Well, then
he overlooked and looked past some other things that were going on around the program.
Right. But I'm just saying generally in college football,
yes,
that should buy you
generally
past
you
that,
buy,
right?
Yes. A Super Bowl appearance or a national title usually buys you several good years before anybody's at your heels. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying what he looked past was right. What I'm saying is that the reality of it is, hey, if you win, that gets you past everything, right?
You're right.
So less than 2 years he's gone. How do you think you're going to do when you're the guy coming in after a guy that won the national title? How many years till Brian Kelly is fired? 3-8-4 seasons and he's fired because it's clear that LSU has this expectation that is not realistic. Okay, Notre Dame sticks with their head coaches longer. Even when they got it wrong with Charlie Weiss, they gave the guy 5 years. And then, hey, Brian Kelly come in and save us. And the first year was rough, and then Brian Kelly has won. He's done really well. Okay, so don't tell me that suddenly, LSU is this great, great job. Notre Dame is always news. Notre Dame is always in the top of everyone's lips. Notre Dame has their own TV network contract, okay? LSU is anonymous in the SEC more than they're relevant, right? They had the 15-0 season. Not taking that away from them 2 years ago, right? It was a great year. It was a great time. Joe Burrow had the best season of maybe any quarterback in the history of college football. Just going back a decade, comparing Notre Dame and LSU, LSU has had 3 losses in every single season besides that one. At least 3 losses in every season besides that one. That's a minor bowl game, and it's, boy, what do we need to compete against the bigger teams in the SEC? Notre Dame, in the last 10 years, have had 7 3-or-less loss seasons. They've had 2 playoff appearances. They went to the national title game another year. It's a better job. LSU, why did Brian Kelly take the gig? We told you why. Make me an offer I can't refuse. Here's $95 million over 10 years, which honestly I thought the number was going to be a lot higher. To leave Notre Dame for LSU, I thought it would be a lot higher. So it's the money, because Notre Dame was, all right, well, we're not going to give you that kind of money. We're Notre Dame. We're going to promote somebody and we're going to go on. So it's the money, obviously, and it's less red tape. I don't have to worry about getting guys in. Recruiting's going to be easier. Okay, yeah, recruiting's going to be easier, but are you going to beat Alabama? and Ole Miss and Auburn and all these other SEC teams that are going to be good when Oklahoma comes in and Texas comes in, you're going to beat these teams all the time, or are you going to finish 8-4, 7-5? That's what's going to happen. This is not, LSU's not been this dynasty. Okay, yes, Nick Saban won. Nick Saban's been gone for a decade, and now he's at Alabama. He's going to keep winning and winning and winning and winning. Do you really think you're coming to LSU and you're going to win? You're not walking into a heritage program where, hey, just keep it going. It's a better gig for Marcus Freeman to walk in and say, hey, we're winning 10, 11 games a year. We got recruits coming in. Everything is good. We could back our way into the national, into the playoffs if a couple of things go our way this weekend. LSU's not having that happen for them. This would be yet another playoff appearance for Notre Dame. You're talking about four in the last decade. And I know I don't want to take away from LSU winning it all because it's about winning it all. But you're talking about which job is better, which job you can succeed at. It's Notre Dame, and it's not even close. And I don't get anybody that wants to throw out that theory of, oh, yeah, hey, LSU is a much better job. No, you get paid more money, which is why you went, and it's easier to recruit. It's less red tape you have to go through. And if you were sick of the red tape at Notre Dame, we're missing on this athlete. This is a five-star guy, and boy, he's great, but we can't get him in because he doesn't have the grades, That's frustrating, and that's why I left. So I get why he left. We explained why he left. But to tell me that's a better job than Notre Dame, that's foolish.
No, like I said, it's coming down to determining what are the factors that make it a better job for the individual, right? Because it's all individual decisions. And as I've argued, I know Joy Taylor, I saw it pop up a couple times, and I'm sure echoed throughout the industry. Like, someone gives me $100 million, it's like there's, especially for a job related. I mean, obviously we can go into a whole other world, and we've seen plenty of movies about, you know, what people want to give you and have you do for money. Hell, just look at Fear Factor. You know, Joe Rogan back in the day, and when he showed up on Las Vegas, I mean, and they participated. But the point being that $100 million as a starter, it's like, all right, you've got my attention. I have less restrictions and recruiting, and I can adopt any accent I want really fast. Great. And then from there, we look at the opportunity. And I got to wonder about this. I didn't hear all of Dan Patrick's interview with Brian Kelly, and I question whether it'll be raised by others going forward. But I have to wonder if he didn't think Freeman or Reese both – other assistants, like he was going to bring a wave of people with him to Baton Rouge that would keep the job as good as it was in terms of structure and what he built at Notre Dame. Because suddenly that's different, right? That's even though those guys are relatively new to the program, hell, Freeman's only there the first year, that you saw what a job he did, that you were wanting continuity, and then you had all these assistants just say, yeah, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. They did Leo DiCaprio and Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not bleeping leaving, even though you are, Brian Kelly. So I wonder if that was part of the better job thought, too, was, all right, he'll have his staff readily assembled. And instead, now he's got to decide who stays, who goes, and maybe we make it a reality competition. But, yeah, I think there are definitely some pluses to it. But in the end, heritage. Notre Dame, you have your own schedule. You have your own network. You have the Midwest, and everybody wants to watch the process of painting and including those gold flecks every damn year. And so many people quote Rudy or mock Rudy on a given daily basis. Come on, you're the center of the college football universe, because when it goes bad, everybody's rooting against you. Right, and everybody's paying attention. It's never boring, that's for damn sure. LSU can dive off the radar really fast.
Beat it. Beat it. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Running your own business requires a lot of running around, from bookkeeping to client meetings. You run it all. By the time you need to hire, you've run out of energy. Luckily, with Indeed Instant Match, you immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description the moment you sponsor a job. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined. Hiring can finally run smoothly with Indeed. To learn more, visit Indeed.com/credit. Well, coming up next, we got a guy who is embarrassing the NFL more than anybody else the last few years, and yet he's still allowed to play. That's coming up next right here. Jason and Mike, you're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, Chad Pennington. Oh, we're all good. No, we're all good. We're still all good.
Now you're just tempting fate.
We're still all good. Chad Pennington.
Lightning can't strike here twice.
Chad Pennington. Cowboys win on Thursday Night Football. There's your headline number one. We've talked about that, broke it down. The other big NFL headline today, I don't know how he still plays in the league. Nobody has been responsible for more bad headlines in the last few years than Antonio Brown. And today he was suspended for 3 games as the NFL ruled he falsified or he misrepresented his vaccination status. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
He misrepresented. Now, that's a legal word if ever there was.
We knew that this could be possible because of the story a couple of weeks ago in which Antonio Brown, who owed money to a chef, that the chef was upset AB didn't pay him, went out and did an interview and said, yes, Antonio Brown asked me to obtain false vaccination papers for him, didn't want to take the COVID vaccine. AB, what have we said from the beginning? If he would just pay people who owed him money, he would have half the problems that he does. But he keeps wanting to stiff people on money that's owed. So they go, okay, you're going to stiff me. Watch what I do now. I'm going to get you in trouble. Just pay people you owe money to. You'd have less than half your problems. It's easy. But this is yet another time that he has embarrassed the NFL. And look, the headline of falsifying your vaccination papers. And look, Jay Glazer joined us last hour on the show and said, you know, for all the guys that are older, the coaches he's around, to not get the vaccine, I don't understand it. And this is yet another transgression of him. And still, the NFL allows him to play. And all he is a bad headline every single time. There's no positive Antonio Brown headlines that come up, and still the guy's allowed to play in the league. I don't get it. I mean, this is a 3-game suspension, but he'll be back. He'll be back for the stretch run. And Tom Brady loves throwing the football, so we're going to see Antonio Brown in the playoffs. I don't get how he's still in the league. All of these bad. No one's embarrassed the league more than he has.
Be a tremendous receiver with the rapport that's fantastic with the top quarterback in the game's history. There you go. I summed it up for you as to how he stays around.
There's right? other guys and, he can throw the football to. There's many
well,
other guys.
And he does. And look at the relationship that he's forged with Leonard Fournette as a runner and receiver in that offense right now. But, you know, with AB, I mean, to me, it's just such a difficult story, right? Because we've seen reports of, all right, this is found here, this number of thousands of bogus vax cards found here, there, everywhere. And then you have this pop up in the NFL, and, you know, the Bucs had trumpeted 100%, you know, compliance with, you know, getting vaccinated and going through protocols and everything. And now you've opened the door. So now it's the question of how much is this throughout the rest of the team, the league? How do you investigate? By using the word misrepresented, does that get you away from any potential legal problems? You know, because falsifying, selling fake vax cards and falsifying that data is a federal offense. I mean, it's a felony. I mean, and then you talk about state charges, and since they're in Florida, perhaps not the same kind of enthusiasm or push to do anything with it there. But certainly for the NFL, you know, this is a big black eye and something they're going to have to address.
And look, the whole question about Aaron Rodgers, why isn't Aaron Rodgers? I get it. Aaron Rodgers lied to the media. The NFL knew he wasn't vaccinated. The Packers knew. Everybody knew that. He just lied to the media. I wish you could suspend people for lying to the media. Then people wouldn't lie to us. But if you suspended people
for lying to the media, there'd be no games.
There'd be no games, Mike Harmon. There'd be no... Oh, for people who lie to the media suspended, there'd be no games every night. So
all replacement players like me.
That's right. And starting at power forward for the Knicks tonight, no Julius Randle. We have Mike Harmon starting out there. Get ready. Twitter, how about a fresh Mike at Swollen Dome? My buddy Ben Maller is next, Fox.